Before we go to prayer, if we'd open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. This morning I'd like to continue with our mini-series on the life of Christ. This will be number 7 in that series, which is number 21 in the mini-maxi-series. I don't know what you want to call it. He that believeth, number 21, and in the doctrine of Christ, number 67. And what I wish to do this morning is to take you through scriptures and quotes from Brother Branham, showing you that the life that you live here is not only a reflection of the spirit that's living in you, but it identifies what life is in you. From the Apostle John says in 1 John 4 and 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we are such a privileged people, Lord, to have this time to gather together in your name, in truth and spirit. And Father, believing, Lord, that there is going to be very few people in this world that will be going in a rapture, and we're believing that we're part of that number, O God. Help us, Father, to examine ourselves every day to see whether we even be in the faith. As Paul said, try me, and as David said, try me and see if there be any wickedness in me, O God. And so, Lord, if there is, then we pray that you'd help us to purge ourselves. And by the blood of Jesus Christ and by the washing of water, by the word. And now we just commit this service because, Father, we come here not just to preach a sermon, not just to put on a show as so many would in this hour, but, Father, we come to prepare our hearts for going in the rapture. That's our main purpose for coming together, is to till up, to see whether we be coming up short at any place. And we pray, Father, that your word would truly touch the hearts of every person, Lord, that's hearing this tape and those that are hooked up across the world. And we pray, Father, that understanding the doctrine which we do, we pray, Father, that you'd help us to enter into that doctrine and the life that is in the doctrine, because the doctrine is Christ. And the life that is in your word, O God, may that life manifest itself the way it's supposed to be, because we do have a word for us in this hour, and that word is that we will be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son. And that conforming is not on the other side. That conforming has got to be now in order for us to be taken up in the rapture. And so, Lord, we just commit ourselves to your great transformation process through your word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now notice he says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they're of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world." Now, what do you think John meant by "try the spirit"? Try the spirit. Well, the word "try" was translated from the Greek word dokimazo, and it means to put to the test. It also means to examine or to discern. So he's telling us to discern every spirit, to examine them and put them to the test. Then how do we test, or how do we discern the spirit? We're taught by the word prophet in this day that we're supposed to test every spirit by the word. From the spoken word is original seed, Brother Branham said. Jesus had warned us of such things as that at the end time. And as I said in Matthew 24, two spirits would be very, very close alike. They would deceive the very elected if it was possible. How can you tell them? Give them the word test. How can you know it? Speak the word. See what they say about it. If they don't believe the word, they have no seed germ in them. All right, so that's how we test and give them the word. If they balk at the word, there's something wrong there somewhere. In other places, we hear Brother Branham warn us of the two spirits at the end time that are supposed to be so close that they would deceive the very elect if possible. Now, what do you suppose he identified as those two spirits? I think you know, because we've talked about this many times. And Brother Branham warned us that the two spirits would be so close that it would deceive the very elected if it was possible. Jesus also gave us the same warning, but Brother Branham pinned down what those two spirits were. In fact, in his sermon, "Seed shall not be heir with the shuck," he said, notice, see how close it looks. Matthew 24:24 said that the two spirits in the last days, the church spirit of the church people and the bride spirit of the bride people, would be so close together till it would deceive the very elected if it was possible. That's how close. Look how it comes up through the stalk. Now, notice, we're going to type something here. Luther in the church age, a bringing forth the bride seed, was the same in spirit. Just one little grain of seed Luther stood out on, that was justification by faith. So notice, one little grain of seed, one word, justification, one word, is what set him different from the Catholic Church. They both had Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, right? They both had their sacraments, they both had their eulogies, they both had the same things, but there was one word. God turned them just one little corner, justification by faith. The just shall live by faith. One word. That's all it took to separate him from the Catholic Church. Now, I hope you can catch what he said here. He said, just one little grain of seed Luther stood out on, that was justification by faith. And remember, just one word off is Satan's kingdom. And from God identifying himself, paragraph 9, Brother Bram said, the Spirit of God can be identified by its characteristics. See, the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of the Church. There's a church spirit and the Spirit of God that's absolutely not like the church spirit at all. So here you have the Spirit of God on one hand, the church spirit on the other hand. Now you would think that the church spirit, if it's the church of God, would have the same Spirit of God. But he says it doesn't. And that's why you have to be so careful. And Brother Bram said we should be very careful on what church we choose. Because he said you should pray over it like a man would pray over his wife. Because if you're indeed just coming to church like many people do, they just come, they this is the closest to what I believe. And so they come, they sit, and they get a lot of church. They get a church spirit on them. Notice, they can both be identified by their characteristics. Both seeds. Because Genesis 1:11 says, every seed will bring forth after its kind, after its own nature. So every seed will bring forth after its own nature. Again, from his sermon, Mark of the Beast, Brother Bram said, now you see what the mark of the beast is? It's the mark of apostasy. It's a person who just thinks that, well, I belong to church and I'm just as good as the next guy. Am I not belonging to this church? He said, that's the mark of the beast. It's a mark of apostasy. I go to church. What more do you want? Huh? So if you trust in a church, let me just say one thing. You're lost. Your trust must be in God, and God is the Word. From God of this evil age, Brother Bram said, the two spirits, one of them, God's Holy Spirit, the other one, the devil's spirit, working in deception. The people of the earth are now making their choice. The Holy Spirit is here calling out a bride for Christ. And then he adds, the devil's unholy spirit is here calling out his church by the error, as usual, by perversion of the Word of God, like he did at the beginning. And remember, at the beginning, how many words off was it? Just one word off. So the devil is working in the churches to bring the people to one word off. That's all he's got to get them to, one word off, and you've got Satan's kingdom. Again, from We Would See Jesus, Brother Bram said, there's only two spirits. One believes and the other does not believe. Now, what does it mean not to believe? Because they believe 99% of the truth. It means that they can't take it all. So now we're getting somewhere. We see that there are two spirits at the end time. One believes, the other doesn't believe. And yet, how can the two be so close if one believes and the other doesn't believe? Because it is only one word that separates them. One word off caused all the death and destruction this world has ever known. From God of this evil age, Brother Branham said, you'll die the day that you disbelieve one word of God's word to be the truth when it's vindicated and proved to you. That's the day you separate yourselves from God, not just the whole sentence, one word. Whosoever shall add one word or take one word away, that's the day you die. That's kind of a scary thing if you think about it, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, if you're not certain of God. If you haven't had a real born-again experience with God, to where you know that you've met him in the power of his resurrection. You know personally you've met him. Like Brother Bram said, no preacher should even step to this pulpit until he's met God face to face. And he said no Christian ought to call themselves a Christian either until they've met God face to face. I had a whole chunk of those quotes. I didn't have time to put them in the message this morning, but they're there. So all it takes is to disbelieve just one word, that's all. In Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3, Moses said to the people, "And he," which he's talking about God, "humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God doth the Lord doth man live." Again, Jesus says the same thing in Luke 4 and 4. And Jesus answering him said, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." And in the book of Revelations, we're commanded not to add one word to it or take one word from it, because to add one word to it is going to add to you the plagues. And to take one word from it means there's no eternal life there. All right? Your life taken from you. Revelation 22:17, "And the Spirit and the Bride say the same thing. They say, 'Come.' And let him that heareth come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the prophecy of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. Therefore, it behooves us not to bypass the word of God, whether it comes from this Bible or from a vindicated prophet of God." Because remember, it was one biblical point that Martin Luther received and the rest of the church could not receive it. The just shall live by faith. That's all that separated the bride from the church in his day. Just one word. Justification. From the message oneness, Brother Branham repeats, he says, "Brother Branham, repeat that again. What is Satan's kingdom? Anything contrary to the word of God." Now that's cutting, but it's time for cutting. See, the branch, the tree, if it's going to bear, must be pruned. It's time. Anything contrary to the precepts of God, the word of God, is not God. What is it? What is sin? Righteousness perverted. What is death? Life perverted. What is the kingdom of Satan? Anything that's setting something to take the place of the word. Anything, any teaching, one word, just one word, you might believe every bit. Eve believed every bit of it to that one word. That one word's all she needed to disbelieve, and that one word is all you need to disbelieve. And disbelieving just that one word set in motion all the death, dying, and everything else. You wouldn't have any hospitals today if it wasn't for that. You wouldn't have any wars if it wasn't for that. You wouldn't have any animal against human or human against human if it wasn't for that. One word, that's all it took. From the message, "If God be with us," Brother Brown said, "many people has been deceived in receiving the Holy Ghost." Oh, here we go. As I said, they've got doctrines today, like Elijah's garments and all these other things, manifested sons of God and all these different isms and so forth. And in the world today, people fall blindly on there and go through some kind of a sensation, raise up with an arrogant spirit and a indifferent, fussy, high-tempered, that's not the Spirit of God. Still continue right on out of order, don't know what church order is, don't know how to behave themselves in the house of God, no manners, no audacity at all, no feelings toward God. All they think about is my church. It shows they received a church spirit and not the Spirit of God, because God's Spirit knocks all of that out of you. It burns it up. Now notice Brother Branham said they've got doctrines that replace a real experience with God, a real knowing. Now again, we go back to the conversation Brother Branham had with Brother Vail. Brother Vail said, "Well, Brother Branham, we're talking about, you know, they were talking about what is the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost." And Brother Vail said, "Well, what about those two experiences you had, Brother Branham?" And Brother Branham said, "Lee, we don't go by experience, we go by the Word of God." Now, he didn't say we don't have experiences. He didn't say you don't have an experience with God. But they were talking on what? On what is the evidence? The evidence is not the experience. But Brother Bram also said, how can you be born and not know it? You understand? You've got to balance out everything that he said. How can you be born and not know that you've been born? How can you say that you've met God and not really know that you've met God? It changes your life. It changes your perspective. It changes everything about you. Because when Christ enters in and he's given birth in you, it's no longer you living, it's him living in you. I've seen it for years. We have two extremes in this message. We have the intellectual group who think that it all lays in your ability to know and to understand. And then we have the other extreme that believes it all lays in manifestations and supernatural phenomena. As Brother Branham said it so plainly in Jehovah Jireh, he said, one of the greatest curses on the full gospel church is not positionally knowing what they are in Christ, Jesus. I've always said, I meet two classes of people, and one of them is the full gospel, and the other one is fundamental. Fundamental knows where he's standing personally, only he's never been born again. Just the fundamental teaching alone. So he doesn't have any faith. And the full gospel has been born again, but don't know where he stands. So it's just, if I could just ever get full gospel Pentecostal faith and fundamental believers, or either fundamental believer and fundamental doctrine in the Pentecostal faith, we'd have it made. It's like a man that can write a check, but he hasn't got money in the bank. And the other one can't write it. And when they can write a check, hasn't got no money in the bank. And the man that can't write a check has money, but he don't know how to write a check. And that's the way it is. What's he going to do? One's got the money in the bank, but he can't write the check, and the other's got he can write a check, but he's got no money in the bank. Then what can he do? You got to get the two together. Now that's what I've been trying to do. Going around the world, get the doctrine out to those who've been born again. God's elect seed, those who would give their lives for this word, but just haven't gotten the understanding that would take them to the next level in their relationship with the Father. As eldest brother, and Jesus Christ is eldest brother. But brother, they've got a real birth, because when the word did come, they accepted it right quick. Well, then we got the other group that have the doctrine, but they haven't got the new birth, because they think having the doctrine is the new birth. And as a result, they haven't any faith to take their relationship to the Father and live it. We can talk it. Yeah, we can talk, but talk is cheap. When you see that relationship and how Brother Branham, he saw it. He had both. He had the money in the bank and the Holy Ghost. And he had the understanding of that relationship. And when he entered into and stepped into that relationship that Jesus had, God did even greater things in his ministry than he did in his own sons. You think about that, how much God loved him to do more in his ministry than he did in his own son Jesus' ministry. And yet, the bride is supposed to have a double portion. Yeah, Elisha is a type of the bride to Elijah, and she's supposed to have a double portion. But what good is a double portion if you don't know what to do with it? What good is money in the bank if you can't spend it because you can't write a check? You understand? Brother Branham said in a sermon, you must be born again. He said, people today take all kinds of spirits. They go up and they take a church spirit. They even take spirits that call themselves God's Spirit, born again, and deny the Word of God being true. Could you imagine the Spirit of God denying His own Word? To you Catholic people, you Roman Catholic, could you actually say that you're born of the Spirit of God and take those dogmas, which is contrary to the Bible, and deny the Word of God and say that the Spirit of God's in you? The Spirit that wrote the Bible would deny the Bible? That would be telling me something and standing up and lying against it. God saying something, then turn around and lie about it. When the Bible said it's impossible for God to lie because He's the very fountain of all truth. Now that's why I've been trying to get the people to see that it's more than just doctrine. It's life itself. If we teach the doctrine as theology, it won't do the people any good. They have to know Him in the relationship that Jesus knew Him. We have to know God in the power of His resurrection. He said, if the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, it's going to quicken your mortal body, that body that you're living in now. What does it mean to quicken it? It makes it alive. As Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Not I was 2,000 years ago. I am today, and I am tomorrow. And I am, and I will be, and I was. In other words, it's a daily crucifixion. Brother Branham said the same thing. He said, if Paul had to die daily, he said, what about you and me? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living. But you know what? It's not me living anymore. It's Christ living in me. And the life I'm now living in this flesh, I'm living by the faith, the revelation of the Son of God. I've stepped into His revelation. I've stepped into His faith. And I am a son. And God is my Father. And by that revelation, I'm walking every day as a crucified Son of God. As a lamb slain. Brother Bram said, from Queen of Sheba, he said, if it's just theology, you can explain it away from you. But they can't when you've had that experience with meeting God and your life has been changed. And as I taught the brothers, if you teach the doctrine as a theology, it just opens it up for argument. Then nobody wins. But when you teach it as a relationship, and they will focus on the relationship and the life pleasing to God. Because Brother Bram said, after all, Jesus is the doctrine. So if you can teach the doctrine without teaching Jesus, you're not teaching the doctrine. You're throwing out a bunch of words, hoping you fit in somehow. It's like putting together a puzzle and, you know, well, this piece doesn't work, so I just kind of trim it, make it fit. Pretty soon you've got a whole lot of pieces that don't fit. A whole lot of extra pieces as well. From uncertain sound, Brother Bram said, judge it with the word, see if it's right. Then you'll know intellectually they don't want somebody to really stand up and pull the scripture out and show it. They want somebody that's trained to bypass it. That's the intellectual. Trained to bypass it. How can we present it so that we can get around this issue? Huh? How many times have you done that? Well, I don't exactly see what, or I don't exactly agree with this. So I'm going to find a way to get around it. Huh? Or you might not admit that you disagree with it. But it sure isn't, you know, it's not comfortable. So if it's not comfortable, I'm going to try to work my way around it. That's why when we're preaching on the spoken word's original seed, and I come across it where Brother Branham said, I'm going to prove whether you're a believer or not. You say, I'm a believer, Brother Branham. I'm going to prove whether you are or not. And he reads John 14:12, and I said, wait a minute. We've been teaching this that John 14:12 is only William Branham, and now he's saying, if that's not you, you don't have the Holy Ghost. Now I've got to backtrack. I can't make the doctrine fit me. I've got to make me fit the doctrine. And the doctrine is that when Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. Brother Bram said that works is the life, it's the actions, it's his speech, it's the works. It's everything about him, because it's the same life living in you is going to do the same things he said 414 times. And about 2,000 times, about 1,200 times, he quotes John 14:12. He says, the things that I do shall you do also. So, not just works. You know, that word works kind of scares people. They think, you know, they're getting into works. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about there's something that the body is following. Like I told Brother Vail, I said, Brother Vail, it's not the action means nothing to me. It's the motive and the objective in here. Is my motive and my objective Christ? And if my motive and my objective is Christ, then everything else will follow suit. You see? And from his sermon, Faith, Brother Branham said, some of them who are the best trained scholars has the least faith in God sometimes. Or they have their PhDs and DDs and they try to explain it. Or they try to get away from the very fact of faith in God's Word. They try to explain it away some other way. And it's true, all of our scholarship, all of our training never puts us in position to meet the enemy. It takes faith in God to do that and that alone. From the absolute, Brother Bram said, but you personally have got to meet God to a place that no one can twist any scriptures. You were there. You're the one that met him. You had the experience of it. You know him, see? I think every minister, especially every believer, should take this place, this position, to first meet Christ personally, and it makes you do things that, and as I said, that the ordinary person wouldn't do. It makes you say things that you ordinarily would not say, yet it is something that you're centered to or you're tied to. And from the absolute, he said, then when we know that our action is exactly with the word, we know our teaching is perfect with the word, adding nothing or taking nothing, just what the word says, And we see the same results that others who anchor to the same word living up in our life, then your anchor holds. The life of Christ being reproduced in almost an incarnate way through you as it was in Christ, because it was God in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And you see God in yourself holding the same keel on the word just exactly the way Jesus did. And you see his life. The works that I do also shall you do. He that believeth, not him that make believeth. He that thinks he believes, but he that believeth. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Why? He's anchored to the same rock. Now, have you ever stopped to think and ask yourself? Brother Brown preached a sermon, if God be with us, where are all the miracles? But we live in such an intellectual age, brother, sister, that everybody's focus is on the intellectual side. And they're not going to their knees in private meeting. You don't see the people today getting up and three times a day and getting on their knees before God like they did. Listen, why did they have miracles in Columbus Day? And Martin and Patrick and all those saints throughout the ages? Why did you see so many phenomena of God take place? And as it said in Columba, that it wasn't just Columba, it was everybody around him. And Irenaeus, they said, because Irenaeus is teaching the church, they said every day there's almost something supernatural taking place every day. Why? They were taught right. To be expecting God to step in, to be expecting that supernatural presence of God. They were taught right. But today we're so focused, we say, well, we've got it because we have one man do it, the finger does it, the whole body does it. I'm sorry, but when I walk, my fingers aren't walking unless I'm walking through the yellow pages. You know, there's the body is made up of more than just the hand. The hand cannot see. The hand cannot speak. The hand cannot smell. You understand? It can feel. That's about it. So don't tell me that when the hand's doing it, that the whole body's doing it. That might be okay for an occasional thought, but it's not a truism. Because it doesn't hold all the way across the board. And William Brown never said it. He never said that. So let's get back to what he did say. He did say, if the Spirit of Christ is in you, you will do the things that Christ did. You will act the way he did. You'll live the way he did. You'll talk the way he did. Because you'll think the way he did. You understand? Now, from the Message Thursday, says, you can read, and like, for instance, somebody say, I go and I read Mark 16, and they say, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with tongues, they shall take up serpents, they shall drink deadly things. It would not harm them. If they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. Now then, you find a person get up there and say, now, that was for the apostolic age. Now then you find, now, right quick, if you have received the Holy Spirit, you've been endowed with that sense, and it sets it off. There's something wrong there, see? They try to explain it away, for it's for another day, that really you don't need those things today, they say. But Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. See, there's a little something sets you off, a little buzzer. It knows that's wrong, and that's the way of death. From Supersign. Now listen, what am I talking about? Why am I doing this? Why do I keep going back to this? Because I'm trying to help you to get over that hump, to realize that when Christ is in you, it is Christ. It's not a philosophy. It's not a churchism. It's indeed Christ. And if Christ is talking to you, then listen. Stop and listen. He said if you be any otherwise minded, he would reveal it to you. But you know, we get otherwise minded and we don't listen. And that gut, we call it gut talk, whatever you want to call it. You know, in the old days they said, you know, they were moved in their bowels, you know. The bowels of compassion, bowels of mercy, all these things. It's within you. The Holy Spirit lays within you. He's trying to talk to you, trying to get your attention. He's trying to get you to listen. That still small voice. It wasn't the thunder, it wasn't the lightning, it wasn't the whirlwind, it wasn't the tornadoes and everything else. It was that still small voice that Elijah heard. And if we got the Holy Spirit in us, listen to it. Don't balk your head and don't butt your head against it. Say, yes, Father, I take the word. I take the correction. Help me move on. That's why William Branham was so successful, because he listened to God. That's why Columba and Martin and Justin and all these saints of old, St. Patrick, even Joan of Arc, for you women. Sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Sensitive to that leading of the Holy Spirit. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And Brother Branham said, if you've got the Holy Spirit, when people start talking about it, say, well, that's for other days. Something within you says, just a minute now. I thought Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How come when he says, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, is different from he that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Or he that believeth on me shall never perish. Or he that believeth on me shall not be confounded. Or he that believeth on me shall have eternal life. How come it's different? See, the Holy Spirit won't buy it's different. It's the same words. We've proven that from the Greek. We've proven it in every single language as a truism. It's translated as whoever believes in me. You see? So if that is the case, then it's for you. So not only has he promised you everlasting life, but he's promised you that you will live the life that he lived. You'll do the things that he did. You'll talk like he did. When there's a need for it, you'll lay hands on the sick, and that child or whoever that person is you're praying for will be healed. If that's God's will, if God tells you to do it, you do it. Sometimes, you know, you don't feel led to pray for somebody. You don't know why, but you just don't feel led. Well, then you don't do it. There's times Brother Branham threw the line. He just, some people he stopped, he prayed, he even discerned. Other people he just kind of laid hands on them. They just went, kind of ushered them through the line like that. Well, you say, well, see, he's a prophet, he can do it. No, you're sons of God. Look, open your Bible to Malachi chapter 3. You know, people want to say, well, that discernment, that was just a prophet. No, it's not just a prophet. Brother Branham even said Billy Paul had it to a degree. Is that right? You've heard him say that? I've heard Brother Branham say that. All right, Malachi 3, verse 16 to 18. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard, and a scroll of remembrance is written in his presence concerning those that feared the Lord and that thought upon, honored his name. They will be mine, saith the Lord Almighty, in the day when I will make up my jewels, or as NIV says, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his own son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked. And the King James says, and you will discern between the righteous and the wicked, between them that serve God and them that do not. Now, who's going to discern? Just one person? Huh? You will discern, because discernment is knowledge. We try to teach our children to be discerning, to know the difference between things. And we're talking about trying the Spirit. Because he goes on in chapter 4 to say that the ministry of Malachi 4 is to change the hearts of the children back to the fathers. And we're talking about knowing the difference, discerning between righteousness and wickedness, between them that serve God and them that don't serve God. Because it's so easy in this day of churchianity where the whole church spirit is the same. You got 2 million people that hang the shingle of Malachi 4. So you go to that church and you say, wow, why is this church so different? Why is it so different? It's a church spirit. You see, and Brother Bram said, many times the people get the pastor spirit instead of the Holy Spirit. That's right. They look at the pastor, they say, well, I'm going to be like that guy. So when the pastor drinks his tea, he puts a little finger up like this. The people drink their tea and they put their little finger up like this. Brother Ram said, you go into a church and you see their pastor kind of jerks his head like this. And you watch the brothers. They'll be all talking. They'll be jerking their head like this. Yeah. I don't want you to have my spirit. I've been killing mine off for 20, 30 years now. He's a pretty stubborn guy because he don't want to die completely. But he's in the process of death. Death takes a while. Unless it's by accident. And I hope our new birth isn't by accident. Do you understand? Brother Vail's been lingering around. He's been trying to go home for 20 years. My mother's been laying around for the last number of years. just death is a slow process until finally the last energy goes out and the last breath goes out. So you don't expect overnight yourself to change. It's a constant crucifixion every day. See? From the super sign, Brother Bram said, if you haven't received the Holy Ghost yet, you must have the token sign or you won't go through that gate. You must be, not you must have, you must be the life of Christ in you. Wow. From Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, what is sin? It's unbelief. No matter how polished you are, if you try to place the days of miracles in the past and there's no such a thing and explain it away, there's only one word for you, brother. You're an unbeliever. Correct. That's God's word, just as plain as it could be. Now, I expect to be persecuted on that. Jesus said, if they call the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more they'll call you his disciples? You can expect it. And if it didn't come, we'd be very much disappointed. There's something wrong. So I'm very thankful for all the persecution we get. From is your life worthy of the gospel, Brother Bram said. And remember, he still wanted to hold his profession in hell. He seen Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham and he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus down here. See? Still calling him Father. See? He took his knowledge and went to an intellectual church. When the light struck him, he turned it down. If that isn't the modern trend of the church today, I don't know what it is. No matter what God flashes across their path, the pillar of fire or whatever it might be, they still, with their knowledge, they can explain it away and go to the intellectual group for the social standing. But Paul was already in the social standing with great knowledge and great scholar under Gamaliel, a right hand of the high priest insomuch till he went to the priest and got orders to put all of them holy rollers in jail. But when the light struck his path and he seen that that same pillar of fire that led Israel through the wilderness was Jesus Christ, he forsook all that he ever knowed and he come to life. Hallelujah. He forsook all of his knowledge. From who is this, Brother Bram said? One revelation on that sacred sand, one time upon that place, man can never be the same. Amen. Before he should call himself a Christian, before he can identify himself, he should first have that backside of the desert experience where he met God face to face. For today, you can have any kind of an answer. You can see the Lord performed just exactly what he said he would do. And smart theologians will explain it away. They'll say, well, that was for another day. It was for this or that. That's for another age or it's wrong. Like they said of Jesus, he's Beelzebub, the devil. He's a fortune teller. All those things, they have an answer for it. And from the supernatural, it said, notice Naaman. This Naaman was a great fellow, but he was a leper. There's so many people today, I'm sad to say, that even in the pulpit, that's great men, but listens to man's theology instead of staying in the presence of God and still a leper, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Influential speakers, forceful, but still never knows what it is to be born again or to believe in the supernatural and cannot understand it, except if they come into the kingdom of God. He will explain it away through his reasonings every time. Why? He's never lived in this atmosphere, but a man ever comes in there that has to become a son or daughter of God, then his nature becomes like God. He believes the supernatural. Why do you think Gamaliel has such a hard time understanding when Jesus was talking about you must be born again? You know, he was a scholar. He was a teacher. He said, what are you talking about? How can I crawl up back into my mother's womb? Jesus said, oh. Don't you know that you must be born again means a second birth? First one's by water and blood, then this one's by spirit. And the teacher should have known those things, but had no clue. From a certain sound, he said, let's see them with the dogmas make the Word of God live again. They bypass the Word by their dogmas, their creeds today, because they're afraid to meet the issue. That's the key. And they bypass it and base the people upon intellectual education instead of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the manifestation of his being. They bypass the issue. What's the issue? What is the issue? If you truly have the doctrine correct, you'll see that Christ is the doctrine. That he is the pattern. That it's not just doctrine, it's a relationship that he had with his Father. That's what was important, not the fact that there was a God and he had a son. That's not the important issue. The important issue is, what was that relationship between Father and Son? That the Father could indwell the Son and be pleased to live in him. because the Son was such an obedient Son, such a yielded vessel, that God was pleased to live in His Son. That's it. And that's the pattern. And that's what God wants you to live, such a life that is worthy of the gospel, that He be pleased to have His life living in you. From will the church go through the tribulation, Brother Bram said, if it's a cantaloupe vine, it'll bear cantaloupes. If it's a grape vine, it'll bear grapes. If it's a Christian vine, it'll bear Christ. The life of Christ and the works of Christ. See? Then our spirit has to be energized by something. I'm so glad to be in Him tonight. What was Jesus' final prayer before He went to the cross? He said, Father, I've given them Thy truth, Thy word, that they might be one as You and I are one. Huh? Jesus' prayer for you and I was that we might be one with God the same way that He was one with God. From presuming, He said, there's so many different denominations till it causes confusion. People just presuming that it's all right, go right ahead. We don't know where which is right. Which is right? Give them the word test. That's the one that tells whether it's right or not. You see, Deuteronomy 22:18, you know, said, if there be one among you who's spiritual or a prophet, I, the Lord, will speak to him. Then if he's with the scripture, it'll come to pass just what he says. It'll be all right. See, Mark 16 says, these signs shall follow them that believe. John 14:12, Jesus said, he that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also. There we are. Now we're getting all right. Now, remember a couple weeks ago we brought out how Brother Bram said, and God identified by his characteristics, he said the difference between the jaybird and the, what was the other bird he called? The hammerbill or something like that. I think he called it the hammerbill. But he said there's another name for it. And he said, these are two little birds, and they look just alike, body size same. He said, the coloring might be just a little bit different. But he said, the one bird, he says, he goes in a beeline, just like that. He said, the other one, he flaps his wings and he goes up like this. And he said, that's one way you can tell those two different birds. It's by their characteristics. How do you tell a Christian? Oh, I believe the message. How do you tell a Christian? Oh, I claim Malachi 4. How do you tell a Christian? It's by the things that they say, the things that they do, their actions. That's how you tell a Christian. Not by whose shingle they're hanging. As I said, I've been to many, many places. And in Africa, they were baptizing in the name of William Branham because they didn't understand there's a difference between appearing and coming. You had one church where they got this little doctrine that the church was holy ground. So the whole church, 300 people in the church left their shoes outside because they came in. They had to take off their shoes because Moses had to take off his shoes, you know. And so they had to take off their shoes when they came into church, and somebody stole all the church's shoes. You know, you got little isms, little cults, little funny things that people do because they got this little idea. It's not your idea, brother, sister. Get rid of your ideas. Is it biblical? Does it run from Genesis to Revelations? Is your life and the things that you do found in the Scripture? I'm going to tell you one thing. You don't find people in the Bible watching TV. So that's number one. Get rid of it. We could go on to a lot of other things too, but we'll just stop at that one. Put the things in order. Put the house in order. So that brings us to two spirits. How do we identify which spirit is which? Well, from a sermon explaining the ministry, Brother Branham said, Hebrews 13:8, said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then if this spirit doesn't produce the life of Christ, then it isn't the spirit of Christ. So if your life is not living the spirit of, is not producing this, the life of Christ, it's not the spirit of Christ that you have, it's a church spirit. Notice every seed will bring forth after its kind. Not how much do you know, not how well you can explain it, but what life do people see in you? Jesus said, by their fruits you will know them. From his sermon, get the people to believe, Brother Branham said, now, We all believe here that there is a true God and that there is a true Christian. Don't you believe that? We all believe that. Well then, we all know that there is some that doesn't live like Christians. You know that they claim to be Christians, but they are not Christians. You know them by their fruits. They say they are, but they can't produce what they're talking about. Is that right? And Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. Now, when you see one that claims to be and isn't, and God isn't with the person to show that he's living in their life, then you know that the Father is testifying to you that by their fruits you'll know that he isn't a Christian. And you can't judge him. You've no right to judge him. Just know him by his fruits. In other words, don't make an issue out of it. They are what they are. Pray for them. But you can't force a person to be what they're not. You can't, you know, the leopard can't lick his spots off and he can't put more spots on. His spots are there. That's who he is. You know, you can't make yourself what you're not. You can't make somebody else what they're not. Just pray for them. They claim to be Christian, but they're up and down. They do stuff that a Christian wouldn't do. It proves by their fruits that they're not. So just pray for them. They need to die is what they need to do. There's not enough death in the church. There's got to be death. You've got to have death every day in your life. Death to self. You see, it all comes down to Genesis 1:11. Every seed will bring forth after its kind. If it says every seed will bring forth after its kind, then the very next verse says, and every seed did bring forth, and God said it was good. In other words, if you plant watermelon, don't be expecting pumpkins or don't be expecting cantaloupe. You're going to get watermelon. Well, you say, well, they look kind of like a cantaloupe. No, I don't know about that. Maybe in a small stage they might. Maybe in their early growth they might. But you plant a pumpkin, you're going to get a pumpkin. You plant watermelon, you're going to get watermelon. You plant the Word, what are you going to get? A life that lives the Word. You understand? It all depends what you're feeding on. From my stand at the door and knock, Brother Brown said, if the spirit of anything was in you, anything, it'll make you act like that person. If the spirit of Christ is in you, it'll act like Christ. It'll do the works of Christ. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. There you are. As I said, you know, if the spirit of a painter is in you, you're going to paint. If the spirit of a composer is in you, you're going to compose music. Spirit of mechanics in you, you're going to work on things. Cars, whatever. He said, if the spirit of anything was in you, it'll make you act like that person. I like that. And from here ye him, he said, and if the new life that you think that you've received doesn't pattern with God's word, you've got the wrong life in you. The life of Christ will produce the works of Christ, will produce the faith of Christ, will make you act as Christ, love like him. It'll make you love him. He will be first in your life. Your objectives and your motives and everything will be altogether different. It'll be for the glory of God. Wow. My motives, my objectives, just check them. That's how you want to know. That's how you try the Spirit. Check my motive. Okay, what's my motive for wanting this thing? What's my motive for wanting to do this thing? Or to say this thing if you have a tendency to lean to gossip when somebody else's, you get that itch, you get that urge. Listen, whenever you get an urge to do anything, forget it. Forget it. God doesn't put urges on you. God's a very passive, like a dove. From door to the heart. I'm just reading here quotes from the next few pages and trying to get through because we started out with 40 some pages of the life of Christ, quotes from Brother Brown. And that's what I'm attempting to do is put them categorically together in the right format. Like a few weeks ago was about the church, you know, and things like that. And so just trying to do this for you. But from door to the heart, he said, if it's a sinful vine you're hooked into, it'll bear sin. If it's a church vine, it'll bear churchianity. If it's Christ, it'll bear the works of Christ. Got it? It's got to. I am the vine, you are the branches. And now he only has hands, mine and yours, eyes, mine and yours. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God wants to use your hands. He wants to use your mouth to share his word. From here you hear him, he said, Jesus beats it with the Holy Ghost until he sees his own reflection in it. Then you can see the works of Christ being performed in the church. Then she's ready for the rapture, pure gold. Do you believe that, all of you? So where is this church that the works of Christ are being performed in that's going to be ready for the rapture? You see it out there? Huh? I believe the bride is, we have to turn that corner, brother, sister. From what is the Holy Ghost? He said they knew the church was to receive power that would work in the church the same works of Christ, because as a shadow becomes deeper and deeper and reflects more and more. And from what shall I do with Jesus? He said, as I said, if the life of Beethoven was in you, you'd live like Beethoven. If the life of Hitler was in you, you'd live like Hitler. And when the life of Christ is in you, you'll live like Christ. And the works of Christ you will do. And from greater than Solomon is here, he says, search yourself back and see if the life of Christ is reflecting itself in your daily walk. And find out. You know, it wouldn't be a bad idea to begin your morning by reflecting and praying and asking God to make every decision for you during the day. To be your feet, to be your eyes, your ears, your hands, your mouth, your nose. Then at the end of the day, to reflect back where you were otherwise minded. Was he my hands? Was he my feet today? Was he my mouth? Was he my actions? Before you go to bed. And then you pray as you lay in bed and listen to those tapes and ask God to make the corrections. From what shall I do with Jesus? He said, as I said, if the life of Beethoven, from greater than Solomon is here, he says, search yourself back and see if the life of Christ is reflecting itself in your daily walk. From adoption or placing, he said, the church has got to be so perfectly like Christ until Christ and the church can unite together the same spirit. And if the spirit of Christ is in you, it makes you live the life of Christ, act the life of Christ, do the works of Christ. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall you do also. Jesus said that, you see. Now listen, if he put it in the Bible, where'd he take it out? You see, that's what I'd like to know. I can show you where it's in the scripture. You tell me where he took it out. From identified masterpiece of God, he said, are you really sure that your life is so reflecting for Christ? No matter what the world says, they say that you've lost your mind. You've gone crazy. You went and joined that bunch of holy rollers. Don't you pay no attention to that. If you're not really truly saved and in that body and the Word of God in you and reflecting yourself and the life of Christ reflecting out of you, brother, sister, don't you take no chance. I don't care what you are, what kind of an experience you have. Let that Word reflect through you each day, because God in this last days is taking a bride for His Son Jesus. Now notice, and if the Word of God in you and reflecting yourself and the life of Christ is reflecting out of you, brother, sister, don't you take no chance if it's not. Is the Word of God reflecting out of me, out of you? From Queen of Sheba, he said, if the life of Christ is in you, it will produce His life in you. The works that I do shall you do also. The same works, because it's the same life. Oh, listen, brothers and sisters, I've had preachers try to say, well, the works of Christ, that was only one man. You know, the church, you know, they do the works of man. Mark 16, I said, just a minute now, how can the works of man be healing the sick? Man can't heal the sick. Even our medicine, our doctors, they give you poisons. That's all they do. Try to kill the thing and it kills you. Healing the sick is part of John 14:12. Brother Branham made very specific. He said, healing the sick, raising the dead, and changing nature. Those three. And that should be in every one of you. Or in the group of the body of believers here. And if the life of Christ is in you, it will produce the life of Christ in you. The works that I do shall you do also. The same works, because it's the same life. He didn't say if the life of Christ is in me, I will produce the life of Christ. He said if the works of Christ is in you. Now who's he talking to? Anybody listening to the tape? He said, and if the church is really anchored in Christ, every church will write a book of Acts behind it. That's exactly right, because the first one wrote the book of Acts behind it, so there we are. Where's the book of Acts? Actually, I think we're going to put one together, not to add to the scripture. But I just got an idea. I'm going to write to the brothers, because I know these things are happening in a lot of the churches around the world. I'm going to ask them to start sharing the things where they know specifically that this was not a philosophy, or this is not a 50-50 chance thing. You show me, tell me. where you've actually seen the hand of God doing things. And as I told all of you, if God has a book of remembrance, you ought to keep a daily log of when you've prayed for God to do certain things and He does it. Because I'm going to tell you one thing, we're coming to a squeeze. And as the squeeze gets harder and harder and harder, you're going to have to go back and depend on that, knowing that that relationship is there and that God does answer. The Bible does say all things shall work together for the good of those that love the Lord and are thee called according to His purpose. Brother Branham kept a book of visions and supernatural things that took place. It was a little help for him to go back in the dry spells to say, yes, look at these things. Look at when God has helped me. And you could have your own little book of Acts if you're open and if you're perceptive to know that God is indeed working with you. Brother Branham got in a car in a little whirlwind of leaves. That wasn't just the car door opening and putting a swish in there. He said that was God. Can you say that was God? You should be able to say that was God. Because He watches over you. The angel of the Lord encamps about them who fear Him. Now, is the angel of the Lord still leading us? As Brother Brown said, the pillar of fire will lead us to the millennium. Is the angel of the Lord, the pillar of fire, still leading us to the millennium? Or did He go away when the prophet went away? I believe a vindicated prophet said He's going to lead us to the millennium. I believe He's still here. I believe He's still leading. And if He's still leading, where is the evidence of that supernatural being in our presence? It's because we don't think enough about it. It's not part of our mental psyche. We've been indoctrinated to the place where everything's intellectual. That's the age we live in. From investments, Brother Brown said, it produces the life of Christ. If you take the gospel, then you become part of the gospel. And if you become a part of it, like Peter, James, John, and them did on Pentecost, your life is another book, living book of Acts. There's no way out of it. Jesus said in Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe, but the people are learning and going through seminaries and schools to learn it, but don't want none of it themselves. Yet they think that they got it. See, they think that they got it, but the actions speak louder than all the words. See, your life proves whatever you are. Now, can each one of us look at our life and say without a doubt, I am a Christian? Because Christ is living in me. Well, sometimes isn't good enough. If it's only sometimes, you need to die. There's a lot more to die in you. From Abraham and his seed, he said, how do we become Christians? When we are filled with the Spirit of Christ, then our life is governed by the life of Christ which is in us. Is your life governed by the life of Christ? From Revelation chapter 1, he said, your very actions, your very motives, the very objectives of the people, why it proves that the Scripture is inspired. And from the message from that time, Brother Branham said, now if Jesus Christ is the vine in his life, now remember the vine does not bear fruit, the branch bears the fruit, but it's energized by the vine, is that right? Well then, if the life of Christ is in us, it'll bring His Spirit and His works. You see, we've got our psyche to the point where we say, well, I believe the doctrine. That's good enough. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. Because Jesus is the doctrine. I believe Jesus. Brother Brown said, that's only being able to read. I believe everything you say, Brother Brown. That's only being able to read. That's only being able to read. 2 million people hang the shingle of Malachi 4, and you see women dressed with slits up their skirts and just filthy dressed, men doing things, pulling deals, everything else. That's not the Spirit of Christ. I'm sorry. It is not the Spirit of Christ. But, hallelujah, they believe God sent a prophet. Well, I'm sure Ahab believed that Elijah was a prophet too. And I'm sure Jezebel did, and she hated him. In fact, Micaiah was a prophet. And when the king was asked, well, what about Micaiah? He's a prophet. Yeah, I know he's a prophet, but I hate him. He never says anything good about me. So they knew he's a prophet. Right?
but what to do for them.
From just once more, Brother Brown said, and you put the life of Christ in a man that's a mortal being, and he'll bear the fruits of the Spirit, he'll bear the fruits of the resurrection. Well, from pardoned, he says, and they got to the place where they're just using these experiences and so forth as a tradition instead of being godly sorrowful and letting the Holy Spirit do the work of his office within you and creating in you a new life and making you so hungry to go to church that you can't stay away from church. Then that's what it is. Not to sign tickets and join and have this and so forth. It's to have the life of Christ in you that he just longs to go. There's something within you pushing you. That's an attribute. From just once more, Lord. Jesus said, when he was here on earth, John 14:12, he said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Jesus said, or the Bible said in Hebrews 13:8, that was quoted a while ago, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we call this denominational life in us the life of Christ and do the things that we do. Why call ye me Lord and keep not my commandments? From it wasn't so from the beginning. And if the life of Christ is in you, it'll do the same things. That was God's example. Church was Pentecost. And if we claim to begin from there, then what's happened? What along the road has taken place? From we would see Jesus. He said everything's known in itself. Then the Spirit of God in his church will reproduce the life of Christ if he is the vine and we are the branches, certainly you see. And again, from he that is in you, he said, and if Christ is in you, the works of Christ you'll do if Christ lives in you. He said in St. John 14:12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. If you was in Christ or Christ lived in you, then Christ is the Word. Is that right? And the Word come to his prophet, see? And if Christ lived in you, the works of Christ would be done through you. The life of Christ would be lived through you. The works that he did, the life he lived, and everything, it would live in you. Just like if Shakespeare or Beethoven or whatever it was that lived in you. If his life, but if you're still living your own life, then your own works you'll do. See? But if you're living the life of Christ, if Christ is in you, he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. If your doubts and frustrations about God's promise is in you, then Christ isn't there. See? You're only worked up. But if the life, if Christ is living in you, his word he will recognize and his promise he'll do. See, he will do. Not you putting on works. He will do. And from adoption and placing, he said, the church has got to be so perfectly like Christ till Christ and the church can unite together in the same spirit. And if the spirit of Christ is in you, it makes you live the life of Christ, act the life of Christ, do the works of Christ. He that believeth on me, the works that I do. Jesus said that, see. And just a few more in closing. From God's gifts always find their place. Said the works that he did identified that he was deity. Showed that he was. For he said, if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. And could not the Christian say today, if I do not the works of my Savior, believe me not? See, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And if you did the works, creation works of the Father that sent him, then it's creation. The Christ, the Creator that sends us, does the works of Christ, the Creator. See, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Then the Christians today has got to do the life of that Christ did, or we have a right to say it's not so. Wow. Where's that being preached in the church today? Go wake Jesus, Brother Brown said. If Christ lives in me, the works of Christ will be done through me, certainly. If Beethoven lives in me, the works of Beethoven will be made known. If Christ lives in you, the works of Christ will be made known, for he is the same. He changes not. Remember what I said. He's eternal. He cannot change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, then call him on the scene. Are you afraid to? Is men of this day afraid to call Jesus on the scene to say, Lord, you promised it. Now do it. I want every one of us in here to be praying on your daily prayer. God, make John 14:12 plain in me and in this church. Give us opportunity, Father, to die. And give us opportunity for you to live out through us, to lay hands on somebody, to help somebody in some way. And from the stature of a perfect man, he said, and now we're supposed to do his work. He said, he that believeth on me, St. John 14:12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. You're beginning to reflect the works of Christ. But so many of us try to do the works of Christ before the reflection of Christ is in you. Lord, reflect in me so that when you have need, you can use me. As Brother Branham said, he wants to borrow my body. I'll loan it to him, give it to him, whatever he can get out of it. And God did. You're beginning to reflect the works of Christ, but so many of us try to do the works of Christ before the reflection of Christ is in us. Now, there's the trouble. We find those things happening. You know it. I know it. We see these stumbles along the road. We find the scrap heaps of ministers, of Christians piled along the road, is because they didn't go out in the right way. And that's why I'm here this morning, is to try to teach this little church and myself how that we can become the dwelling place of the living God. How many would like that to be, the dwelling place of the living God? From the Queen of Sheba, he said, if I say the Spirit of Christ is in me, then I must do the works of Christ. Jesus said, the Father that has sent me, and if I do not the works of God, then you don't have to believe me. But if I do the works and you can't believe me, believe the works that you might be saved. How plain. Your objective is right. Your motive is right. Sincerely dumped out of self and yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and watch what He will do for you. And one more in closing. From faith once delivered to the saints, he said, when Elijah's spirit come upon Elisha, Elisha was just like Elijah. And when that same spirit come on John the Baptist at 9 years old, it even drove him to the wilderness. The spirit that was in you controls you. And if the spirit of Christ is in us, the body of Christ will be like Christ, will be Christ-like in its feelings, in its actions, whatever it is. It'll be Christ-like. It'll do the works of Christ. God wants to work in the body of Christ as He did in the physical, corporal body of the Lord Jesus. He wants to work in this body of Christ. If He can only get them to the place where they'll stand still long enough that He can place them on the foundation of His Word so He can work. God cannot work contrary to His Word. Now listen, how much plainer can you get? After all, is not the law of life, the law of nature, the natural law defined that every seed must bring forth after the image of the or after its kind or nature? After all, is it not that how we define or identify what life is in a plant? By the attributes that are expressed in the plant? Well, what if the plant doesn't display any attributes? Any fruits? Why do you think Jesus cursed the fig tree that didn't produce fruit? It had leaves, but no fruit. So He cursed it and said it was only fit for the burning. There's no fruits, no life. Now, my question to you. If God wants to use us, He wants to use us. Because aren't we ordained to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son? Well, I'm sorry, but it's not being conformed to having a beard and long hair and wearing sandals. It's the life, the actions, the speech. You see, if your plant, because we are all a planting of the Lord, is that right? If your plant has the life of Christ in it, it'll have to manifest Christ. Right? Is not that being conformed to the image of the firstborn son? So you understand that it's not just knowing Father and Son. It's entering into that relationship and allowing Christ as the pattern to be the example seed. And dying to self, because the only way you can get there is not putting it on. It's dying to self. Die to self and He'll live it for you. Just let Him. Then you'll be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. That's not in the millennium. That's not in the New Jerusalem. That's now, where He says, if the life that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal body. The word quicken means to make alive. It'll quicken your mortal body. To what? To the resurrection power of the Holy Ghost. To the Word of God. It'll quicken. In other words, it'll make your body obey your confession. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want for our bodies to obey Your confession, Your word. Our confession. Because the Spirit and the Bride say the same thing. So Father, we just pray that You'd help us, Lord, to die. Help us to crucify daily. As Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living, but yet it's not me that's living, but it's Christ that's living in me. And the life I'm now living in this flesh, I'm living by the faith, by the revelation, by the pattern and the example seed of Jesus Christ. As a Father, having recognized that you are God, you are sovereign, and that you are also our Father. And realizing, O God, that your Son Jesus was the firstborn in which we are to be conformed to that image. He was the example seed. He was our pattern. Then, Father, help us to enter into that pattern so that that pattern might be manifested again in bodies, in the body of Christ. Because as Brother Branham said, you wish it, O God, even more than we want it. You wish to have the life of your Son manifested in sons. And so, Father, we just pray that we might die, because that's all we can do. The only action we can do is die to self. And when we can die to self, die to our own objectives, our own motives, and receive only your motives and your objective, which is to be conformed to the image, which is, as Jesus said, I come not to do my own will, but I come to do thy will, O God. For this purpose have I come into the world. And so, Father, for what purpose have we come into this world? Our purpose, O God, is to be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son, to be so much like Him that you can use these bodies. And that we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So when that seed life is manifested, it's expressed, right? Well, when God's seed life is manifested in you, you become manifested sons of God. Amen. What are those manifestations? It's obedience. God is sovereign. We're just completely obedient to the Father. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee.